be seated. Welcome you all tonight and run through some housekeeping arrangements. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recording will be made available on the Council's website. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film, record, tweet or blog this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. I would also like to remind councillors and the other people attending that this meeting, that the fire exits are to the rear and side of the room. There are no fire alarm tests planned for this evening. And could I also ask that everybody turns off their mobile phones or switches them to silent so that the meeting isn't disturbed? I would also like to remind councillors that when they speak, they are required to stand, if they are able to do so, to address the meeting. This is a requirement of our constitution. So the first item on the agenda is apologies for absence, and I have had apologies from the honorary aldermen Bush, Day, Shields, Stott, and Tormey. I have also had apologies from the following councillors, Councillor Harper Davis. Are there any other apologies? No more apologies. I would now like to ask my chaplain, Canon Paul Chipchase, to say a few words.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Good evening. Jesus said to his disciples, "I call you friends because I have made known to you everything I received from my Father." I've always been intrigued by this saying because Jesus seems to be suggesting to his followers that true friendship is based on the sharing of information or knowledge freely and openly. I think back over 30 years to when I was working in local government, and there were a number of people in the local authority I worked for who seemed to take a very different view about the sharing of information. They regarded knowledge as power and were determined to keep what they had to themselves in order to protect their position, to make themselves indispensable. As I began to gather my thoughts on this topic earlier today, by pure coincidence, I received an email from Charnwood Borough Council's communication team asking for feedback on their communication strategy, on how the council has been communicating with residents in recent years. I will fill in the online survey, honest, but here in a nutshell is my response. As a Loughborough resident, council's determination to keep me informed about what it's doing, whether it's planting trees in the outwards or giving advance notice of the next appearance of Peppa Pig, the council has been in regular, almost daily touch to keep me informed. And that, in a strange way, is really very affirming, that somebody at the council thinks it's important to let me know what's happening. Now, of course, knowledge or information has to be shared responsibly, as the General Directory reminds us on information sharing and disclosure, but I am impressed by the commitment of this council to share with residents everything that can reasonably and appropriately be shared. Not only does this give greater expression, I think, to the idea of local democracy by keeping people informed, but it presents the council as a friendly and supportive organisation. I think Jesus was right. The honest sharing of appropriate information is a sound basis for true and lasting friendship. So do please keep sharing. And now we pray for God's blessing on our meeting this evening, that in this, in our work, in our lives, we will continue in a spirit of openness, of sharing, and of friendship through Christ our Lord.
I will now move on to item 2, disclosures of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. For information, disclosable pecuniary interests and registrable interests relate to entries that are included or should be included on a councillor's register of interests. Non-registrable interests relate to any other matters. I will now call on the Chief Executive to report on disclosures of interests in the business to be considered at this meeting, which have already been made by councillors in advance of the meeting.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have the following disclosures. Councillor Jewel Meir, item 9.2, and other registrable interest as a member of Leicestershire County Council. Councillor Deborah Taylor, also in 9.2, a disclosable pecuniary interest in member of Leicestershire County Council. Further to that, we also have Councillor Shona Rattray has a disclosable pecuniary interest in item 9.1, support for care experienced people. As she's stated on a register of interest form that she is self-employed independent foster carer for Leicestershire County Council. The monitoring officer has given dispensation for this meeting only as it's considered in the public interest to allow Councillor Rattray to speak and vote on the motion, given her experience in that matter. Are there any further disclosable interests from the floor, please? Councillor Fryer.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I'm Councillor for Leicestershire County Council.
Councillor Seaton, yes.
I also feel pressurised on 9.1 for Leicestershire County Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more? No? So we can move on then to item 3, minutes of the previous meeting. I move that the minutes be confirmed and signed as a correct record.
I second the minutes, Madam Mayor.
Does anyone wish to raise anything on the accuracy of the minutes? If so, please state the minute number. Nothing? No. Since no issues have been raised, I take this to signify that the minutes are accepted as the correct record. Thank you. I will now sign the official minutes I have with me here and pass to the Head of Democratic Service for archiving. Oh, they're over here. We now move to item 4, announcements. I have the following announcements to make. Firstly, I would like to refer to the resignation of Councillor Louise Jones. Councillor Jones represented Loughborough East after being first elected in May 2023. I want to thank Louise Jones for all her hard work, and I am sure my fellow councillors and colleagues wish her well for the future. There will be a by-election to the Loughborough East Ward, which will coincide with the Police and Crime Commissioners' elections on the 2nd of May. I would also like to inform members that the bench has been installed on Farnham Road Park in Shelthorpe to commemorate the life of Jill Bolton, Councillor Jill Bolton. Jill served as a councillor for the Shelthorpe Ward for over 2 years after being elected in May 2019. Jill sadly passed away in October 2021. So, 4.2, I call on the leader to make his announcements.
Madam Mayor, I wish to put on record my thanks to Councillor Louise Jones, who represented the Loughborough East Ward and was the Cabinet Member for Climate Action, Net Zero and Property and Assets. And it would be remiss of me to say that bench has been long coming and it's welcome. Councillor Jill Bolton might have only been on the council for 2 years, but she had an impact on us all, and her passing was untimely. Thank you.
Thank you. So I now call on the Chief Executive to make his announcements.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no announcements to make.
And the next item is item 5, petitions. Are there any petitions to be presented? So item 6.1, review of the constitution, which is page, sorry, I turned over two pages, I think. No. Item 6.1, review of the constitution on page 17. I call on Councillor Ashcroft to propose the item.
Madam Mayor, to ensure the constitution is kept up to date and fulfills its intended purpose, I move that the changes of the Constitution set out in Appendix 1 to the Cabinet Report be made effective from the new civic year 2024-25, with two changes. Item 2, page 27, Housing Management Advisory Board. Following further feedback from the Board, including tenant representatives, the name to remain as Housing Management Advisory Board. Item 4, page 31, Plans Committee Procedures. That an additional sentence be added to the third paragraph to provide further clarity as follows. For clarity, this provision also applies to the Mayor, Deputy Mayor, or councillors who are.
Thank you. Councillor Blackshaw? Is she going to second?
I second this, Madam Mayor, and reserve my right to speak.
Thank you. So, you, seconder has 3 minutes to speak.
She's reserved, Madam Mayor.
Sorry?
She's reserved.
Right, thank you. It's quite difficult to hear at times. If any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. Councillor Snart.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is item 4, page 31, Plans Committee Procedure, single member ward. I'm pleased to see the changes made to the part of the Constitution so quickly. You may recall my group, has been putting forward this for some time, and we're pleased to actually see it come forward. Also, the change for clarity as well, which makes it to clarify the Mayor and Deputy Mayor or councillors who are ill have a disclosable interest who are in single member ward 2. Also, the additional sentence for clarity, it will also be welcomed by one of the parish councils in my division or ward. So, throughout this, they thought it was undemocratic because they couldn't actually, or I couldn't actually bring a planning application to committee. So it's welcome all round, and we welcome the speed that this has been done. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any more comments? No. So I now.
Councillor reserved to right.
Councillor Blackshaw?
I have no further comments to make. Thank you.
Thank you. So I call on Councillor Ashcroft to sum up.
Okay, I'd like to thank Councillor Snart for his comments regarding the changes which have been made to the single member wards, and I'd recommend that full council support this motion.
Thank you. So I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Those against? So no abstentions. Fine. So the motion is carried. Item 6.2, assets review, page 35. I call on Councillor Mear to propose the item.
Cheers. Thank you, Madam Mayor. So that Council may approve the new capital expenditure and allow the works to proceed, I move that a £500,000 budget be added to the capital plan to facilitate the development and planning of the programme of works to refurbish the Southfields offices. The report sets out the direction of travel regarding council accommodation and seeks approval of a capital budget to engage suppliers to develop and deliver a programme of works. On 16th of September 2021, Cabinet authorised a budget of £150,000 to conduct feasibility studies relating to the future of council accommodation, including to determine the suitability of the Southfields Extension car park as the future site of the new council office. Ground surveys were conducted on the site as an initial step in understanding if the site would be a possible location. Results show that there was a building to be constructed on that site. It would require piling to a depth of 12 metres to support a structure above it, adding a very significant level of cost to any construction project. Subsequently, the Russian invasion of Ukraine occurred in February 2022. The resulting inflation and supply shocks to the UK economy are all well understood and have been present since that point. Construction inflation rocketed at this point beyond aggregate inflation, very significantly increasing build costs across all sectors. An accommodation feasibility study was then commissioned. The objectives of the study were to identify an affordable location. In each of the options was a middling specification, not the least expensive, but also not the most expensive. In short, 10 options examined that required the council to either build new or purchase and renovate would cost at least £10 million of capital, with the highest option being £15.1 million. Therefore, in the context of the options from the AFS, the options ranging from 10 to 15 million would cost the council on the order of 771,000 to 1.164 million per year. The MTFO does not have the financial headroom to accommodate these levels of costs, and any savings generated by these options would be eclipsed by the costs. Three options were identified in the AFS that considered remaining at Southfield. These options were decidedly more affordable, estimated in a range of £600,000 to £3 million. The options were not exhaustive, but were indicative of the level of cost that the council may face, and when taken into full consideration, a headline budget of £6 million should be assumed. The full cost of the work of the improvement programme will be known after a programme of work has been developed and will be subject to Cabinet and Council approval. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I second this and reserve my right to speak.
Thank you. If any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wonder, with all these plans going forward, if it's possible to consider having a council chamber within the Southfields footprint, or however you're looking at altering it, because I think you've already mentioned it once tonight, the sound quality in here is not great, and I think going forward, if we're going to make some alterations, then we should give real consideration to how we forward with council meetings going forward. It's one of my questions, but obviously I only get a quick supplementary, so I thought I'd raise it under here, so maybe we could have a look at that, please, because we should really be having a good council chamber where everybody can hear each other. The recording is good, so the public can hear what we're talking about, and I don't think we've got that at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak?
Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's just really penscript to what Councillor Taylor has just said. I don't find the light particularly good in here, and I can't hear the voices. And I don't know whether it's an age thing or it is the acoustics of here. So I do find it a little bit hard, and you all look very hazy. So that's probably my answer. I don't know. But the other thing is, part of the argument of having the meetings here is the Mayor's Chamber. Well, the Mayor's Chamber can also be configured within the developments as well. And I think it would only be practical to do it. And that's if it was going to be rebuilt, that was what we insisted or wanted in the new build. So while we've got the opportunity, have it in the redevelopment. Thank you.
Thank you. Nobody else? Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's really useful to hear those comments, and I'm sure we'll be able to take them on board. As you're aware, the coroner and the registry office have vacated Southfields, and that gives us potential to look at what we can do. So we'll certainly take those comments on board. Thank you.
So I call on Councillor Mia to sum up.
Cheers, thank you, Madam Mayor. The AFS has served its purpose. It has provided the council with a comprehensive number of options that have clearly identified the best option regarding the future of the council's accommodation. Regardless of aspirations, regarding a new build office accommodation, costs and financial pressures dictate the direction of travel with accommodation, and the logical and best value for money option is to remain at Southfields. The costs are expected to cover design, surveys, project management and any project planning costs. This is an indicative budget, and all monies may not be spent if any balance remains after subsequent stages have been approved and commenced. The decision has been made to stay at Southfields. We want to make sure that we update and upgrade it to a modern, state-of-the-art, net-zero offices where our staff enjoy working from, members find it comfortable to be in, and our residents can be proud of. It's time to invest in the next 30 years, and that process starts now. I ask everyone to support the accommodation. And just to say that nothing's ruled out of having a full council chamber in there. If that's something that's possible, you'll all have an input into it as well. And if it's not something that's possible, then you'll also know the reasons why. But nothing's ruled out and nothing's ruled in, as they say, because at the end of the day, the whole point of getting this passed is so that we can have some options to choose from to say, this is what we want from our new Southfield office. This is the state of the art that we wanted. We want to be able to listen. We want the lights to be great. And we don't want to be cramped. And that's the other thing that Woodgate Chambers was. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Those against? Any abstentions? So the motion is carried. Item 6.3, review of the special policy on cumulative impact included within the Licensing Act 2003 policy on page 143. I call on Councillor Beverley Gray to propose the item.
Madam Mayor, to ensure that the Council has an up-to-date statement of licensing policy to adhere to, which sets out the Council's policy in respect of liquor licensing, including the special policy cumulative impact zone, required to be reviewed on a three-yearly basis, that meets the licensing objectives and complies with the requirements of the Licensing Act 2003. I move that the special policy on cumulative impact be retained within the statement of licensing policy made under the Licensing Act 2003, set out in Annex A to this report, be approved and adopted.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I second this, Madam Mayor, and reserve my right to speak.
Thank you. If any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. Councillor Lowe, would you now like to speak?
I have nothing further to add, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
Councillor Gray to sum up.
Councillor Gray, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I look forward to members' support to retain the cumulative impact zone based on local police recommendations and the data we have on where the majority of instances of crime and disorder occur in Loughborough. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Those against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried. So item 6.4, appointment of co-opted independent person to the Audit Committee, page 183. I call on Councillor Ashcroft to propose the item.
Madam Mayor, to appoint second co-opted independent member to the Council's Audit Committee, I move that Lynn Alderson be appointed as a non-voting co-opted independent member of the Audit Committee until 21st of April 2028, or until she ceases to be a co-opted independent member, whichever is the sooner.
Thank you. Councillor Lenny.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I second this and reserve my right to speak.
Thank you. If any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. So, Councillor Ashcroft, would you like to... Sorry?
Councillor Lenny,
oh, sorry, Councillor Lenny, you reserved your right to speak.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We're doing this to follow good practice, but I would like to have my own opinion, and I think Lynn Alderson will add expertise which we don't currently have an audit committee, particularly in IT services, in auditing of IT services. So I really recommend that everybody support this motion.
Thank you. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Those against? Any abstentions? So the motion is carried. So item 7, call-in references. There are no call-in references from scrutiny. Item 8, position statements. No requests for position statements have been received. Item 9, motions on notice. There are two motions on notice on the agenda submitted in accordance with full council procedure, rule 9.12. The first one is about support for care experienced people, which is a joint motion of the Conservatives group and the Labour group. The second motion is about the light bulb service submitted by the Conservative group. So, item 9.1, support for care experienced people, on page 186. Councillor Deborah Taylor, would you like to introduce the motion on notice regarding care experienced people?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I hope you can hear me okay. Firstly, I'd like to welcome Terry Galloway to the meeting this evening. Terry is the co-founder of Care Leavers Office and an office offer, and a care leaver champion and campaigner. So Terry has campaigned nationally for all councils to adopt care experience as a protected characteristic. This growing momentum nationally across local authorities and other organisations make care leavers a protected characteristic within their policies, seeks to redress inequalities faced by care experienced young people. To date, there are over 89 councils that have done this. We will be the 90th tonight if this motion is passed. So 26.7 million people are now living in an area where their council treats care experience as a protected characteristic. That's 41% of the population, so a great work by Terry. So tonight, I'm hoping we will join fellow district councils across Leicestershire who have already adopted this, including Blaby, Obi and Wigston, and recently Melton. Since becoming the lead member for Children and Families in July 2020 for Leicestershire County Council, I've devoted my time to listening and speaking to as many young people as I can. I've learned so much from them, how resilient they are, how they can communicate their needs, and how they know exactly what they want me to do to change things for the better, for the young people that they will know will follow in their footsteps. That is why I have championed young people since taking up my role and why I bring this motion here tonight. I want to explore every avenue to ensure that all barriers that care experienced people face to achieving their ambitions are removed. Tonight we are one step nearer to removing another barrier. I want every young person in care who is care experienced to be able to achieve all their ambitions. People who have interacted with the care system often have the hardest start in life. So it's up to all of us in positions of responsibility to ensure that nothing holds them back. Many care experienced people face discrimination, stigma and prejudice daily, often finding it challenging to access support.
Public perceptions of care experience are sometimes centred on the idea that children are damaged, which can lead to discrimination and assumptions being made. This stigma and discrimination can be explicit and often comes with assumptions about the likely characteristics of children and adults who have care experience. They can also be implicit and are evidence in the way care experience is discussed in schools, workplaces and the media. At its worst, this can lead to care experience people being ability to parent when they have children and families of their own. I was shocked recently to see an advert for a rental property that stated, no care leavers. How must that feel for care experienced young people just wanting a home to call their own, a safe, warm place to be, to see that written down in black and white? Care experienced young people are one of the most vulnerable groups of people across our society. They will often encounter disproportionate negative outcomes relating to a range of factors including education, employment and their exposure to the criminal justice system. Most recently, it has been recognised that around 50% of the prison population aged under 21 have spent some time in the care system. In 2018, only 30% of pupils who were looked after continuously for 12 months entered higher education, compared to 43% of all other pupils. In 2019, the Department for Education showed that by the age of 19 to 21 years old, 38% of care experienced young people are not in education, employment and training, in comparison to 11.6% of all other young people. The impact for our young people of being in care relates to the trauma they may have experienced and their experiences of being marginalised. This highlights the symptomatic difficulties care experienced young people face by simply being part of that demographic. Young people feel written off as an individual and allow professionals to form assumptions and hinder opportunities for these young people without accepting them for their individual personalities and attributes. By recognising these disadvantages, systems can begin to understand the experiences of young people, therefore creating and implementing strategies to target these disadvantages. It's important to understand that all experiences are individual and care experienced young people's views may differ. A key theme for me is the lack of understanding across society. Suppose all society understands the specific experiences and needs of care experienced young people. In that case, this will benefit young people by creating a wider understanding, by tackling stereotypes, potentially creating more opportunities. Care experienced young people have a limited support network and will often struggle to discover opportunities that aid them in advancing from their struggles in their life. It's important for care experienced young people to have a trusted support network, purpose built for them, and their needs to provide stability and a solid foundation for future in their lives. Care experienced young people are often susceptible to feelings of loneliness and vulnerability due to having a limited network to turn to for help. It's important for young people to feel supported in achieving their dreams and for this support to people that they have good relationships with and not just those who are available for the young person. The independent review identified after hearing testimony from care experienced people sharing the discrimination they experienced even from a young age, it is clear that discrimination can be similar in nature to other groups that have a legally protected characteristics under the Equalities Act 2010. Recognising care experience as a protected characteristic is a vital approach for this council to ensure those...
Councillor Taylor, I'm going to have to stop you now.
I'll move the motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. So, Councillor Hamilton.
I second this, Madam Mayor, and reserve my right to speak.
Thank you. If any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. Councillor Rattray first and then Councillor Baines.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm talking today because I've recently become a supported lodgings host for Leicestershire County Council. Supported lodgings comes under the fostering umbrella and allows young people coming out of the foster care system to have a safe and caring family home where they can develop the skills needed to live independently in the future. Not all care leavers are able to join this scheme and can find themselves navigating an adult world full of responsibilities at 18 years old, navigating the housing system, paying rent and finding work. Living and caring for a 17-year-old care experienced young person has opened my eyes to the challenges and trauma they can face throughout their childhood, but also how these challenges can follow them as they navigate their way of trauma. In England, 66% of looked after children were looked after due to abuse or neglect. that abuse or neglect can lead to childhood trauma and associated disorders which can affect the lives of care-experienced young people. Children in care tend to have poor outcomes in areas such as educational attainment and physical and mental health. As a carer, I'm working to give my young person the skills to live a successful and happy life, but I already worry about the barriers they may face in the future. The statistics for care-experienced young people can be concerning. It is important that care-experienced people are provided with the care and support they need to be healthy and safe, and to assure they have the same opportunities as their peers. I'm pleased that this motion has been brought to Council and that we appear to have cross-party support for this. I fully support this motion and do hope that everybody here does too.
Thank you. Councillor Baines.
Thanks very much, Madam Mayor. I just want us to think about and reflect on the BBC drama, Three Girls 2017, which told us the tragic story of grooming and sex trafficking in Rochdale, and the failure at the time of the Greater Manchester Police and Rochdale Borough Council Children's Services. Actually, the problems were picked up by the NHS, and for years they tried to encourage those two previous organisations I've mentioned to deal with the problem, to prosecute. And part of the reason why prosecution didn't happen was because the police, and particularly the Crown Prosecution Service, deemed the victims unreliable witnesses. So I just want us to reflect on that, how awful that is and was, and just encourage everyone to vote unanimously for this in order to ensure that something like that never happens here.
Thank you, Councillor Baines. Would anybody else like to speak? Right. Councillor Popley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll keep it very, very brief. This is something quite close to my heart for a number of reasons. My professional life has seen me work in both the care field in law and also now as a teacher. Today, I actually taught a session on online grooming to one of my classes. Now, this is good that we're doing this. This is why we all go into politics. Not because of the stuff that you see in the media, the backbiting and the nastiness, this stuff. Children are the future. The kids who are deprived, left behind, deserve our voice. We are in a privileged position in this room, and we should use that privilege to good effect. I know some of the children in my classroom fall under this remit. I teach some of those deprived children in the country, yet alone, the Midlands. My quarter of Birmingham that I go to every single day, some don't even know where the next meal's coming from, sadly. And I feel very proud that I get to teach those children. I feel proud that I'm doing something good for society and giving back. And when I read things like this, it makes me proud that our council is also taking the initiative to do something good. So I think this is to be commended across the whole chamber, and I think this is a good thing. So I wish everybody, I applaud everyone for bringing this forward, and it's nice to see that both our side and the opposite side have worked together on this policy for good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Popley. Is there anybody else? Councillor Mear.
Cheers. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to thank Councillor Taylor for bringing this motion to the Council. We had it at County Council and it was unanimous, and I don't see why it won't be here, but I just wanted to put the Labour Party's support. I know Councillor Hamilton has seconded it and will say that we want to make sure that those people that are in care have the best advantages when they come out of care, and the Council treats them fairly and gives them as much opportunities as we do one of these other protected characteristics. Yes, it's not legal, and we know it's not legal yet. It may be in the future, but we'll treat it as if it was. And already, we're going to, after this motion is accepted, hopefully today, we're going to put those wheels in motion to make sure that the policies that the Council brings forward are reflective of the motion that we're accepting today. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Boker, are you going to speak?
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I'm glad that everybody is in agreement with this motion. I want to thank Councillor Taylor, who has done an excellent job in investigating this area of discrimination, and I'm sure some of it was quite upsetting. And I totally agree with her motion. It's a real issue for me that this type of discrimination exists in the modern world. What happened in Rochdale was utterly disgusting, and those in authority there should be totally ashamed of themselves.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. First of all, I would also like to thank Councillor Taylor for bringing this motion forward, and I am, of course, happy to second it. The Council is committed to fostering an inclusive environment that values and respects all of our residents. As part of our ongoing efforts to enhance inclusivity, we welcome this motion, which proposes to recognise care experience leavers as a characteristic worthy of protective measures within our organisation. This is something the Cabinet was considering prior to the motion and is happy to support the Council. It's important to emphasise that this recognition will not supersede the legal framework of the 9 protected characteristics under the Equality Act 2010. Rather, it will complement and strengthen our approach to supporting this group, ensuring that their specific needs and experiences are acknowledged and addressed appropriately. So, what does this mean in practical terms? Moving forwards, we will take proactive steps to incorporate care experience leavers into our equality impact assessment. By doing so, we aim to support the challenges they face and tailor our policies and practices to provide meaningful support. These already contain mention of vulnerable groups, but by passing this motion, a reference to care leavers will become explicit going forward. Additionally, we are committed to engaging with care experienced residents as part of relevant future consultations and decision-making processes. Their perspectives and insights are invaluable in shaping our services and initiatives to be more inclusive and responsive to their needs. Ultimately, our goal is to create an environment where all residents, including care experienced leavers, feel valued, respected, and supported. We believe that by continuing and growing our support of care experienced leavers, we will move closer to achieving inclusivity for all.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Taylor, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you for all the councillors, for those who have spoken, for their supporting words. And I know some of those that haven't spoken also share the same words that have been spoken. Thank you to Councillor Rattray for sharing her personal story. It's not always easy in this chamber to share some personal details, so I'm grateful for her to sharing, because I think that really does help the motion going forward. And I think the only way to truly understand what care experienced young people go through is actually to listen to their voice, something I've done for the past 4 years, and some need to hear their voice. And I'm really grateful for cross-party support in this motion. And I think recognising care experience as a protected characteristic is the right approach for this council to ensure those who are care experienced are fully supported. It not only enshrines the support for care experienced individuals, but also integrates this support into established mechanisms that public bodies are already familiar with. This ensures that supporting care experienced individuals is not an add-on, but a fundamental aspect of policy development and decision-making. The approach guarantees that policies are developed with equity in mind, ensuring that care experienced individuals have the support and opportunities they need to thrive. So I'm really grateful to propose this motion to the Council, and that they've recognised that the Council has a duty to put the needs of vulnerable people at the heart of decision making through co-production and collaboration. This Council will treat care experience as if it was a protected characteristic, that future services and policies made and adopted by the Council should be assessed through the equality impact assessments to determine the impact of changes on people with care experience alongside those who formally share a protected characteristics. So I hope the Council will support us unanimously this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Those against? Abstentions. Motion is carried. We now move on to 9.2, the light bulb service, on page 187. Councillor Snart, would you like to introduce the motion on notice regarding the light bulb service?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Conservative Group motion calls on the administration to engage fully with the light bulb partnership without delay to fully integrate into the light bulb partnership, which provides an integrated offer focused on health and wellbeing outcomes, such as maximising independence in the home and preventing falls. Due to the recent poor performance in this area of the Council's business, which affects some of the most vulnerable people within the borough, the Conservative Group believes the Council will deliver an improved service when fully integrated into the light bulb partnership, especially when peak loads occur. Therefore, it should be an option that the light bulb should be an option going forward. We are assuming that the leader has cited the independent review of the Charnwood light bulb operation when making this decision. This included background information recommending the introduction of a home improvement agency model for the disabled facilities grant service within Charnwood. Deliver it either part of Leicestershire Light Bulb Partnership or deliver this service independently. Again, the Conservative Group believes the current light bulb model should be also an option. The Conservative Group would not support this service being delivered independently for the reasons outlined before. The Conservative Group wish this item to go to scrutiny and propose that it goes forward without delay. Also, the Conservative Group requests a member briefing is arranged so that all the information is available to the members of this council. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Snart. Councillor Boker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I totally second this motion.
Thank you.
Does she wish to reserve her right?
Do you wish
reserve
to
reserve my right to speak?
Yes, thank you. If any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm sure everyone in this chamber wants the best, most efficient, most cost-effective delivery for this service to support those through the Disability Facilities Grant. Now, we will not be supporting this motion for a number of reasons. Namely, of course, 2017, by the previous administration, then proposed again 2019 for 4 years to be reviewed. We're now under the review, which is finished for 2023. So what we have done as a council is we had a consultancy foundation to look at the service, and they did propose the HIE model, the Home Improvement Agency model, and we're looking at the feasibility of that. So we're currently, so essentially if you were to support this motion, you're going to the conclusion before the actual feasibility work has been done. So we are looking to see how best to deliver the service. Now the Home Improvement Agency is a model which is a more end-to-end supported model than the current system right now. Is actually the one that's based on guidance from the government's Department of Levelling Up, Housing and Communities, and the Department of Health and Social Care. So we are seriously looking, is this the way forward? But we need a feasibility to see how best provided. Historically, we had a kind of part-in, part-out model with light bulb partnership, where we had shared the hub, the kind of assessment stage, but because we were the largest borough, decided that the delivery bit we would do ourselves. That was a decision made some years ago, and that's what we currently have. In terms of how it's performing, could it perform better? Yes, but its performance is actually pretty similar to other boroughs, and therefore there's no need to suddenly jump into the current model with everyone else right now, but we are actually working with the other boroughs to look at what is the best way forward. So the things happening right now. The feasibility of the best way forward is being assessed right now. And therefore, as I say, let's not jump to a conclusion. Let's see what comes back, and then we can have a serious scrutiny of a proposed solution and see what we can agree moving forward. So I will not be supporting this motion this evening. Thank you.
Would anybody else like to speak? Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will be supporting this motion today. Councillor Baines and I had a resident in our ward who had a fall getting out of his bath and badly injured himself. He was then too scared to get in the bath again. He asked for a walk-in shower in place of his bath. He waited 2 years for that to happen. 2 years without a bath or a shower. We should not be treating our residents like this. We should be treating them much better. And I urge the administration with urgency to look at the light bulb service. I didn't agree with Charmwood not sitting fully within the light bulb project when it first started right at the very beginning, and I voiced that since that day, that I think Charmwood should be fully involved within the light bulb. There's a lot of talk that goes along with the districts that they need to work together more to share all the burdens, but in this instance, Charmwood seems to be sitting away from the other districts, and I think that is a mistake and it needs looking at with urgent scrutiny. So I'd be grateful if the leader would be able to share the review that Councillor Hamilton has spoken about tonight with all members of this council to ensure they have sight of the review so they can also read the information in there that Councillor Hamilton has shared. I think it's really important that all members of this council have sight of that view. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Is there anybody else who... Councillor Needham.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We absolutely agree that we do need to provide in a good service to our residents when they need those adaptation in their homes. We don't want to hear stories where people are waiting a very long time. Clearly large underspends and long waiting times aren't okay. So I think everyone's in agreement here that we need to deliver the best possible service we can, but I think where we disagree is whether the motion will actually achieve that. The motion's actually a lot of context that needs to be taken into account. There's also work currently being done that's been alluded to, and I think it's better to wait and see what comes of that. It's better to take a little longer and get it right than make a snap decision and get it wrong, because it is so important to people. And I don't think there's enough information in this motion to make a considered decision this evening. Again, as people have said, I was also going to raise that members need to be given a chance to fully consider all the pros and cons, and that this might be a good opportunity to actually ask for more information and a member's briefing and some kind of scrutiny report. And also the motion does reference recent poor performance, but what it doesn't consider is that actually there is some improved performance since that review, so it doesn't actually paint a full picture. It seems that the historical problems aren't unique to Charmwood. Other districts have had similar underspends and a waiting time. So to me, that suggests that there's a common factor somewhere that's causing these problems, and that going all into the light bulb scheme wouldn't necessarily solve those in the long term. So that's perhaps one of the reasons why the other districts in Leicestershire are exploring this move to the HIA model, and why that model is actually the one that's recommended as best practice by the relevant government departments. So I think that work needs to continue to see if that is the best solution for us as a borough. There is a need for transformation of the delivery of these disabled facilities grants. From what I can see, the direction of travel there is moving towards HIAs. So my worry is that were this motion to pass, it might actually run the risk of undoing the progress that's already been made on that assumption that fully integrating with Lightbulb is actually the best model for deliverer. And I actually haven't yet seen enough evidence to convince me that that's correct to make that decision today. So just to say, obviously this is a really important issue that affects lives in a very significant way. We do need to get it right. But if we're serious about improvement, then we need to do this properly based on evidence and the full facts. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Tillotson, did you have your hand up?
I did, yes. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be very brief because Councillor Needham has said pretty much what I was going to say. We all want to see this service delivered well, and it's my understanding that the partnership is not doing that either. So jumping in would be a mistake, so I can't support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Fryer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Well, I will be supporting this motion. And I find it interesting that we have suggested that it goes back to scrutiny and that all councillors have a briefing. I think it would be very interesting to know how many people in this chamber tonight fully understand the light bulb system. I'll hold my hands up. I didn't. And I think we have suggested that this goes and proposed that this goes back to scrutiny, and it would be very useful if within the next time, I understand people are now reviewing it, looking at it and doing, that we do have a proper briefing on this. Because I hold my hand up. I'm a very experienced councillor. I've been in this council for 20 years and I don't fully understand it. So I think it's vital that, and that's what we proposed as part of this motion. Thank you very much, Madam.
Thank you. Councillor Baines.
I was going to talk about a resident, but Councillor Taylor talked about it much better, much more lucidly than I was going to. But I do want to reiterate the 2 years. That is abysmal. To have to wait for 2 years to improve something is horrific in my view. Part of the reason it arose was because of the failure between the relationship between county and borough. So the following up this relationship and making sure that things were happening. So it's very clear to me that the supply chain aspect is not working. Occupational health linking to us commissioning the work from the contractor. It seems to me that that system, if not broken, is seriously failing. And so I would like to commend Councillor Snart for bringing the motion, because he's seen all this, recognised it, that it's a serious problem. We're not acknowledging elsewhere that this is a serious problem, it seems to me. And that was the reason for the motion. So if you're not going to support the motion, then we want to know when the completion of this feasibility will take place, and also by when and by how much the service will improve by using the alternative approach. But we'd rather you supported the motion, because what we're asking for is engagement, full engagement. We can't see why you'd go against that, to be honest.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? Sorry. Yes, please.
So I just wanted to reiterate what I've already heard, but I just wanted to express a little bit of my confusion. I listened to Councillor Snart's proposal and really heard that part of his proposal was the request that this be given scrutiny and that this information be available to all members. And Councillor Taylor said that as well, which are two very reasonable asks. Now, I'm sure it was not intended this way, but there's just confusion on my part. I've heard a catalogue of reasons why action can't possibly be taken, with a great deal of focus on all the reasons why it can't be scrutinised and why information can't possibly be shared with members because there's already a feasibility report, etc., etc. I just wanted to add to that, my fellow councillor here suggested that sometimes it's better to wait and make sure that you make the right decision. I just wanted to add a slightly different perspective. Sometimes it's better to make sure that action is actually taken to improve the lives of residents, and our focus is on that positive action, not resisting and finding all the reasons why you couldn't possibly agree to, one, scrutiny, and two, sharing information with all members. That's just my confusion. Thank you.
Sum up? Sorry. We have another speaker. Councillor Mears, sorry.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much. Councillor Starr, thank you very much for bringing this motion on notice, but I think it would have been better if it was a position statement, then we could have laid out what the situation was and the circumstances was. And I understand you're frustrated, because I'll share your frustration as well, but I think you're frustrated with the wrong administration, because the report that was done, and that was shared with our partners in the district and the County Council as well, was a report on the final year of the previous administration, and that's what it's solely focused on. So we understand it was bad, it was really bad, and we understand the spend wasn't there. But if you look at the spend in 2023-2024, the first year of our administration, well, actual direct spend on adaptations was 90% more than it was in 2022-2023. The total spend in the light bulb project was 86% more than it was in 2022-2023. And that's why I said it would have been better as a position statement, because some of the facts and the figures that I've got and I'm privy to, and the reasons why Cabinet made the decision it did, are here and it's available. And if you'd have asked the same questions to the officers, they would have provided you with those answers as well. And it is frustrating. We want to make sure we deliver for the best for our residents. But I think in the first year of taking over, we've done incredibly well. If we've nearly increased spend by 100%, I think we've done really well without actually focusing on it. But I understand there's a lot more to go and there's a lot more to do. So, light bulb project, we've all heard about it more now than previously. So we made the decision of whether to go into a HIA or not. And what we did, we said, actually, we don't know enough about the HIA. We don't know enough about the light bulb project and the Blaby model. We want to know more before we make a decision. So officers have gone away. They're going to have a look at it. And that's why we asked for the 12-month extension. It wasn't a surprise to any of our partners. We told them that this was going to happen. And they said, that's fine. Just let us know what your ultimate decision is. So when they remodel as well, if we feel that it'll be better to go in with them, then that's what we'll do. That's the decision we'll make. If we feel that it might be better for us to stay out and do it our own way, then that's what we'll do, because that's the best course of action to take on the advice from our officers. However, I think scrutiny was brought up. It's important that this is scrutinised, and any decision will be scrutinised. However, it doesn't stop scrutiny, and Councillor Rattray can back me up on this, to call for a paper on the light bulb project. So at the next scrutiny commission, they can table that into their work programme and ask for that information. And then that will be provided at the next scrutiny committee. And I think that's important, that if they feel strongly enough, which it does, that's where you should call for it. And you can scrutinise the position now, ask for historical figures, ask for what improvements have been made since the report was done, and it will be there. However, when officers report to Cabinet, that report will also be there for scrutiny to look at. Because you can do the pre-decision scrutiny on it and it'll all be there. But then we will make a judgment based on information given by Councillor Rattray's committee, who will feed in, and then Cabinet will make a decision on which way to go. It's open, it's transparent, but I don't think this motion is the way to go. This motion is asking us to go back into the light bulb project when we've asked for an extension for 12 months. It's asking us to do a decision when we've already made a decision. And we're already in that year of 12 months. You know, it's the first month of April. Our officers will be surprised, our partners will be surprised, if we then turn around and say, actually, we want to be back in with you at short notice. So I think what we should do is let it run its course, let the officers have the opportunity to explore all the models available to us, and then let Cabinet, well, let scrutiny first have a look at it, let Cabinet make a decision, and then if full council wants to pull it in, entitled, perfectly entitled to. But I don't know which way we're going to go yet, because we haven't had that information yet from the officers. We've not made a decision on it. What we have done is improve the service better than it was in 22-23. 23-24 is better, and I'm hoping 24-25 is going to be even better, and we're going to deliver all the money that we want. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Are there any more speakers?
Councillor Infield.
Councillor Infield, I think it is.
Thank you. I'll be brief. I've looked through the data that sits behind this, that we have in front of us already, and it doesn't convince me that jumping in with the light bulb project is the right thing to do. They seem to be performing no better than we did in the past, and as we've just heard, Charnwood has actually improved its performance and taken actual steps to do that in the future. I'm reassured that the review of this is going on, and that we will have a chance to debate this again if it turns out that I'm wrong.
But that, for that reason, I won't be supporting this proposal.
Thank you.
You reserved your right to speak.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I hear what everybody has said. You've all made very good points, but at the end of the day, we're concerned about our vulnerable residents, and clearly there has been poor performance, even though more money has been spent on the project. I know calls of poor performance, and waiting 2 years is totally unacceptable. So I would ask the leader, first of all, how long is this feasibility study going to take? And secondly, because light bulb does cause, as Councillor Fryer pointed out, a lot of confusion with councillors, especially new councillors, I would like to see a member briefing as soon as possible, so that it's clear to members how they interpret the figures that have been produced, and it's clear to them how the whole operation works, because it isn't clear to councillors, and I think that has to be done with some urgency rather than being fobbed off that we're in a feasibility study and you know, we have to wait for the results of that. At the moment, we don't know how long that feasibility study will take, and I would also urge the leader and the chief executive to get that done as soon as possible, and then we'll understand where the hiccups are, but we'll still support our motion.
Thank you. Councillor Snart.
Madam Mayor, thank you. I'll try and give a bit more information for Councillor Needham, and also I think we're looking at now, if you look at it, what's been said, we don't have the option there to go and stay with Lightbulb. It just didn't actually say that. So there are some conflicting things that have been said by the opposition over there. I'll just give this bit of information. On the 15th of February, the leader of the council approved the delegation of the authority for extension of the Lightbulb service by a period of up to 12 months. 12 months. The reason outlined for this decision of delegated power stated to enable continued effective delivery of light bulb disabled facility grant service within Charnwood to allow the consideration by partners to propose changes to the delivery model within Leicestershire. I note the words continued effective, which means successful in producing the desired or intended result of achieving the result that you want. Now, Councillor Mir says that the year has been good and better. I'll tell you now. Over the past year, after supporting a tenant through the light bulb scheme, this statement is far from true. Just a few brief details. 12th of April, 2023, daughter of a tenant stated, "My mum is nearly 86 with declining health, unable to cope with bathroom and toilet arrangements. Bathroom sink downstairs, her toilet upstairs. 13th of July, 2003. Council have a backlog of adaptations on the council programme we will aim to complete in the latter part of the financial year 2023-24. February 2024, work should have been completed by Tuesday 13th of February 2024. 18th of March 2024, unable to use the excellent completed bathroom and toilet because adaptations had not been delivered. That's the good service that Councillor Mir has been talking about that is improved this year. It is disappointing that all the relevant details from the independent review were not available when the leader made the decision to extend the service for up to 1 year. The Conservative Group is of the opinion that this service is better delivered by a partnership arrangement, especially to meet the high demand times which occur during the year. Therefore, we should wish to see, when the administration is considering options going forward, a fully integrated light bulb scheme is considered as one of the options. The Conservative Group believe the administration need to focus on delivering the best It seems the leader is more focused on sending correspondence to the leader of the county council than having partnership arrangements for the benefit of the vulnerable residents of the borough, which in this case, the one I have just alluded to, waited nearly a year to satisfy her needs. We would also be interested to see the reply from the county council if and when one arrives. On behalf of the Conservative group, I propose this as an urgent item to go to scrutiny, so all options available are now on the table, not just the two recommended, but the light bulb, integrated light bulb service, actually one of those available. So the options available on the table with the relevant details available, including representations from partners, including correspondence between the leader and the county council. Also, the Conservative group requests a member briefing is arranged, so there's a better understanding of the whole concept of how the council continues to deliver this service for the benefit of some of the most vulnerable people of our borough. I was a little bit concerned tonight to think that we're thinking now that everything is rosy, and it certainly is not true. And I know so well the actual service has improved when I actually have that information, and it's all documented if you want to see it. But it was a bit disappointing tonight to say that we've come along with this motion to say the best way forward would to have all options on the floor, see what's the best option to do that through scrutiny, because I think that's the idea, to get partners here as well, so we can actually have an excellent look at this. So it's going forward with the best options for the most vulnerable people.
Councillor Snart, I'm going to have to stop you from your five.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, for your kind words. Thank you.
So we're now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Those against?
Motion's lost.
And no abstentions? One. So,
there's one abstention.
Is it
the Moy
Council?
Yes.
Yeah. So the motion is lost. Okay. So moving on to item 10, questions on notice. As a reminder, the questions that councillors have submitted and the answers to them are in the supplements pack. I will call on those councillors who have indicated that they wish to ask a supplementary question. Supplementary questions must relate directly and exclusively to the questions submitted, and any other supplementary questions will not be permitted. Each councillor will have 1 minute to ask their supplementary question, and the councillor responding will also be able to speak up for 1 minute. So, item 10.1, garage and parking site strategy. Councillor Snart, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Madam Mayor, I'll be very brief this time. I don't get told off again. I note the last council year voids and repairs total over £226,000. One simple supplementary question, which only needs a yes or no answer. Is the leader comfortable this matter is being taken forward over 5 years period, especially with the amount of this time?
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton, do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, what you have to understand is it's a rolling programme, so you have to prioritise what you can do. You've done the feasibility of what garages can be brought back into use, what garages can't, and what do we do with that land. So there'll be a rolling programme that will take over a number of years, prioritised to maximise the asset value for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 10.2, council meetings. Councillor Deborah Taylor, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On top of the comments that I made earlier, if in the meantime we're planning to continue to hold meetings here, can the leader please advise what plans are to improve the sound quality, because we're all struggling to hear each other, which doesn't help for good debate. And also, are we looking to introduce the webcasting of our meetings? So for the public interest and transparency, as a lot of the other districts do, they all webcast their council meetings. So can I ask what progress is going to be made on that in the meantime? Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mayer, do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think we will look into both those, especially the sound system, but also webcasting. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 10.3, void properties. Councillor Deborah Taylor, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd be grateful if the leader could keep all members updated regularly on this important work and the reduction in the voids. It's really important that with the housing crisis that we have, that as many properties are in use and people house them as possible. So rather than me keep bringing a question back every council meeting, I'd be grateful for a regular update. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton, do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I think regular updates are suitable, and I think they'll go to the Finance and Performance Scrutiny Committee for that.
Thank you. Item 10.4, regeneration funding opportunities. Councillor Woodward, do you wish to ask your supplementary question?
I have no further questions. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Item 11, there are no minute references. Item 12, urgent executive decisions exempted from call-in on page 188. This is a report to inform the council of decisions which were exempted from call-in accordance with Scrutiny Committee Procedure 11.9. I would like to remind members that this item contains an exempt appendix, so please consider if you wish to speak. If any councillors would like to ask a question, please indicate your wish to do so by raising your hand. I don't think there's any at all. Right, so. So we're moving on to.
You just said we'll note the decision.
Right, we will note the decision that's been made. So item 13, delegation of executive functions, page 196. This is a report to inform the council of delegations of executive functions relating to the annual review of the constitution and changes to the membership of the cabinet. If any councillors would like to ask a question, please indicate your wish to do so by raising your hand. No hands. So, Councillor Mear, there's nothing that you would like to add. Fine. So we're. Yes, we will note that the points that haven't been made. We will just note this item 13. So now item 14, appointments to committees. There are no appointments to committees that I'm aware of. I'd like to thank you all for your attendance tonight and all your contributions. The next scheduled meeting of the council is scheduled for the 13th of May 2024, and this will be the annual council meeting. But I'd also like to just mention that there is a photo opportunity at the end of this meeting concerning the motion on notice about care experienced people. Please can councillors remain in the room for the communications manager to take the photograph. Thank you. So we will retire and then return.